us the minutes of July 20, 2006.
Move approval as presented.
We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Without exception, the minutes will be adopted. We're going to shift the public comment above the Writers Advisory Committee. We have one person who has asked to speak to us today, and that is Kathleen Walsh.
Hello, my name is Kathleen Walsh. I'm the Disability Rights Program Manager at the Equal Rights Center. I'm here to follow up on an action that the board took at the last meeting. You approved the recommendations of the Metro Access Best Practices Committee that did not cost any money. That last meeting, you agreed to bring on a consultant to figure out what the cost would be of those recommendations that did cost money. I see that it's not on our agenda, and I understand that at this point,
Lady, do you have a response to that?
I actually was planning to respond to that, deal with that issue directly in my general manager's remarks. So
fine.
If you'd like to wait to that point, I'd be happy to share.
Acceptable?
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. And thank you for coming today. Now we'll have a report from the Writers Advisory Council. Mr. Jaffe.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The Writers Advisory Council meeting, Council held its meeting in both August and September, and would like to share with you a number of things. First, we'd like to simply make note that this year, under the leadership of Mrs. Mack and Interim General Manager Dan Pangerlini, I'd like to say that a number of people on the Writers Advisory Council and many other members of the public who I speak to suggest that we have begun to see a change from what was a culture of unresponsiveness at the agency to a culture of service and improvements. Just one example that recently was spearheaded in Mr. Tangerman's staff was top staff members and members of the rail station throughout the operations department met with a number of members of the Writers Advisory Council in doing a station scan to identify what can we do to improve, things that are low-hanging fruit, things that are not necessarily low-hanging fruit. And what is so striking to me is one, it was constructive, it was well-received, we went over many things, signage in particular, that need improvement, and that it is something that if it was done before, I'm not aware of it, and it's such a welcome change. A few other notes in this year, very, very welcomed. Person hired on staff here at the agency. If I could make a special note of new customer service manager Lisa Morgan under Mr. Tangerlini, made a presentation at the Writers Advisory Council meeting in September 2 weeks ago. Very, very refreshing and frank assessment of what the agency is doing well at, what needs improvement, and it was very, very well received. A well-resourced customer service management team integrated with operations can serve effectively as an early detection warning system at the agency and to help raise customer satisfaction and support for more resources at the federal level as well for Metro. We hope that the opportunity will be there at Metro to build upon the changes begun this year as we work together with all jurisdictions, Maryland, D.C., Virginia, in working satisfactorily and in consensus towards change. The Writers Advisory Council sent a letter recently to the Board of Directors in which we expressed interest in seeing the release of board revenues and expense estimates 1 month prior to the first time at which a vote is conducted by either the Board Budget Committee or by the whole board on the fiscal year 08 budget. To proceed with any vote on the fiscal year 08 budget without having released to the public revenue and expense estimates would not be the best way to instill confidence in the agency. One other recommendation that we made was, and this is something, again, that Mr. Tinguini has helped spearhead prior to his coming on board here, was simply making sure that we have bus system maps in every rail station. The agency says on the website that bus system maps are in every single train station. They are not in most rail stations. Many kiosk staff have not heard of the bus system map. We don't make that, is what many of them believe. Bus system maps should also be in the convention center, in the hotels, so many other locations, the Greyhound bus terminal. We need to get outside of the building a little bit more to provide information as needed by the public. One other recommendation approved by the Riders Advisory Council, one that is so often spoken of, and that is on the escalators, people need to be reminded for the train stations, stand to the right. People complain about it, but we don't have the signs up. If they're up, we're not sure where they are. I want to echo what Ms. Walsh said about Metro Access, and we're looking forward to working to bring to fruition the work of the Metro Access Advisory Committee that Ms. Mack convened earlier this year. And lastly, I do want to just make brief reference to the pamphlet that was distributed, Metrobus Service Changes. Members of the Riders Advisory Council will speak further with staff responsible for the pamphlet. It is one example that I hope marketing and the bus division take very seriously. There is a presentation of information in this pamphlet that is not what is needed in order to make it presentable and readable by the public, and I hope that we have the opportunity to work with staff who are responsive and will be very, very much listening to, okay, what is it that we need to do better? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Jaffe. Let me say that your report, certainly the first part of it, indicates that the process we put in place is working, and we're very pleased to hear that the recommendations of the RAC are being heeded, and want to thank Mr. Tangalini for his support that he has been providing to the RAC, because I know he has been committed himself personally and to have staff working very closely with the RAC, and I'm very pleased to see that we're getting things done. On your question about the revenues and expenses, did you indicate, do you have sent a letter to the board?
That is correct.
Okay, I have not had opportunity to see it yet, but what you request is something that seems to me very easy to support, and we'll certainly be happy to do that. Okay, does anyone else want to comment on Ms. Jaffe's report?
Just one item.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to follow up on the what I think of as the Linksgehen-Rechtsstehen issue. There's what I've seen in Germany when you're on escalators that tell you, stand to the right, move to the left, and was thinking about that on the way in today. So we don't have to have the answer today, but I hope we'll have an answer soon as to when we can look forward to seeing such signs.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Ellman. Thank you, Mr. Jaffe. Moving next to the report by the general manager.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I'd like to use my time today to share with the board and those we've gathered today excerpts from an email that I recently received from Robert Coward, the Executive Director of Direct Action and the Chairman and Spokesman for Capital Area ADAPT. ADAPT's charge is to lead, organize, and implement a campaign for the civil rights, full integration, and empowerment of people with disabilities into the mainstream of society. Mr. Coward sent an email to me praising the commitment and attention of detail of some specific WMATA employees, including Clement Ned, Transit Service Planner, Christian Kent, Director of Metro Access Services, Steve Yaffe, Chief Operating Officer, Community Transportation Services, and Glenn Millis, our ADA Program Coordinator. He went on to share with me that their efforts to facilitate the transportation needs of ADAPT members in Washington for a recent ADAPT demonstration made a tremendous impact on the experience of the attendees. Thanks to their leadership, the rights of people with disabilities will occupy an important place in the region's transportation agenda. Mr. Coward went on to share some ideas about how public transportation should be oriented to provide service for individuals with disabilities. ADAPT advocates what is referred to as community-first perspective. The community-first perspective lays the foundation for the ultimate reform that will allow people with disabilities quality and reliable public transportation. The focus of this perspective is service. Let me read from his email. Serving is different from helping. Helping is based on inequality. It's not a relationship between equals. When you help, you use your own strength to help those of lesser strength. Service is a relationship between equals. Individuals with disabilities are very aware of their own strength. Mr. Ned, Yaffe, Millicent, Kent provided National ADAPT members public transportation service that didn't diminish our self-esteem, sense of worth, or integrity. The quality and reliable transportation service provided by WMATA allowed National ADAPT to complete our demonstration and to ensure the civil rights, full inclusion, and integration of individuals with disabilities into American society. I want to extend my thanks to our Community Transportation Services team for the continued hard work to improve this service and enhance these customers' quality of life. We still have some distance to go, though, but we're charting a course. In November, we'll come back to the board. So there's the answer. In November, we'll come back to the board with the findings of the ad hoc committee consultant analysis, as well as the first request to assist in their implementation. This is another step in our continued efforts to ensure that our offerings, in the words of Mr. Coward, serve rather than simply help our customers. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Taglini. And we will be looking forward to the November report. And I'm sure Ms. Walsh will be also looking very carefully to make sure that we make those that deadline. We next have the report by the Customer Service Operations and Safety Committee. Mr. Brancuso.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We met on September 7th, and we're recommending two actions for the board to consider. First, the committee recommendation on the deployment strategy of the new Series 6000 rail cars. The committee recommendation would deploy these first 50 cars to respond to overcrowding, and after deployment, all lines will experience a decrease, or there's two lines that will not be affected, but priority would be to decrease overcrowding. I'd like to move for approval.
Second. Well, motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed. Mr. Brancuso.
Thank you. The second item has to do with the parking service contract for fiscal year 08. We're requesting the board approval to initiate a comprehensive parking services contract that will replace our existing parking lot attendant services contract to add 7 customer-oriented and maintenance services and services. The current contract expires June 30th of 2007. In addition, this would enable us to initiate and reward a separate contract to provide consultant services to assist with contracting documents, and I'd like to move for approval.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? I have a question regarding this contract. We had talked about the living wage provision being a part of this this contract development. Is that contemplated?
Yes, our proposal would be to include a living wage component in the contract request. Remember, this is an initiate.
Yes, fine. Thank you. Any other questions? Hearing none, those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed. That's approved. Thank you. Anything further? Thank you. Now moving to the report of the Budget Committee, Mr. Graham.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. The following actions were referred to the board by our committee, which met on September 7, 2006. First, contract awards. Staff requested approval to streamline the procurement process by allowing all contracts under $1 million to be exempt from further board approval as long as they are within budget. The board will continue to approve multiple contracts to the same vendors that exceed $1 million. The new policy will have a one-year trial period, and staff will report to the board quarterly on all projects awarded under $1 million. I move approval.
A motion?
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? That's approved. Mr. Graham.
The second is to approve changes to authority policy for the use of credit cards. Staff requested approval to expand and streamline the procedures for using purchase cards. Designated staff will have permission to purchase cards up to $5,000 and a very limited number, but not a number that's established as yet. We'll have purchasing authority up to $100,000. The card administrator will have the ability to lock cards to specific vendors, and a zero-tolerance policy remains in effect. I will note that I voted against this motion, and Mrs. Mack voted present. But in my role as chairman of the committee, I will move approval.
Thank you. We have a second?
Second.
We have a second. Discussion? I have a couple of questions on this one. In the action that was approved by the committee, I thought we had a number.
I'm sorry. In the recommendation, we authorized following 25 positions, 14 purchasing agents, 5 inventory planners, 2 contract administrators, and 4 ordering officers.
And subsequently, but that was not part of the motion that came out of the committee.
I'm sorry, and that was.
It was.
You asked us to modify it to include specific.
We asked the modification, but we did not have the specific before us. I'm hearing this for the first time.
But it was in previously in material previously shared with the board.
We shared it with the board in advance of this meeting. We also discussed at the meeting 25 people. You asked for the specific people, and we then provided the board in this board action information summary who the specific people were.
Ms. Hudgens.
Madam Chairman and Mr. General Manager, I thought that was also asked in the meeting that there would be a report back at some time set, and I don't see that in the motion. Great deal of discussion regarding the ability to monitor this and to report back to the board.
If you look at the last one of the recommendations, the authorized and the discussed changes to the purchase card program is a pilot with a report back to the board documenting the actual experience through fiscal 2007.
Okay.
So the period of action would only be for the remainder part of the fiscal year 2007. We would report back to the board the performance of the program before we'd seek extension into fiscal year 2008.
Are we seeing that in the resolution?
It's in the recommendation on the action item.
Now, there's not a resolution on this, right? This is.
There should be.
There should be.
You know, in the future,
I don't even see it.
I don't see a resolution.
Sure. It's under the. If you look at the board action information summary, under the tab,
I see it. There's not a resolution. Yeah.
It's not really an action document for us.
It's on the back.
It's on the back of what?
Of what?
You know, I'm going to ask, Madam Chair.
It's on the back of mine.
Well, Madam
yes,
Chair.
Yes, Mr. Graham.
I'm going to ask in the future that all of these materials be paginated, A to Z on this, because we shouldn't have this awkwardness. And I don't see a resolution in my material.
I don't have a resolution in my material either. And since we're talking how our documents look, I would request that, you know, that tiny little header there at the top of the page, could we make that bigger so that we could actually see the action and coordinate it with the agenda? I mean, I know it's coordinated, but this is just so small. It's really hard to see. Yes.
And this, it says resolution no, but, you know, when we have something that says recommend approval of changes as discussed, that leaves a lot of room for ambiguity subsequently about what it is the board approved. And for something like this, it seems to me it just should be laid out and approved formally in a recommendation, in a resolution.
Madam Chair, I'm going to withdraw this motion because I am feeling very uncomfortable with what we're doing here, and I think we can easily wait a month on this matter, and let's get our documents in front of us correctly so that we can see what we're doing. I withdraw the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Graham. I think that is appropriate because the material that was distributed to us prior to this meeting is not included here, and it would lend a lot more detail to what we're talking about.
We didn't include the presentation we gave at the committee. Frankly, in any of these, we did provide an action document. We've replaced the MEAD, in essence, with these action documents, and that was something that the board had asked because the MEADs were confusing. Not every action requires a resolution. We'll be, I'm assuming we'll be passing other things today that don't have resolutions with them. It's pretty much straightforward to provide the ability to have a $5,000 limit rather than a $2,500 limit and allow 25 people in the procurement office the ability to purchase items with a credit card rather than using purchase orders and going through the substantial administrative process. But if there's more that the board would like us to present, we'll be happy to come back again and present it again to the board and try to get it to the point that you can feel comfortable with.
Mr. Grant has asked withdrawal. Does the seconder agree? And if so, then it's withdrawn.
May I continue with my report?
Yeah. Well, Mr. Zimmerman.
I just want to note, I do believe that this document we have in front of us is an improvement over the former EAM. On some of the technology here. I do appreciate the new format replacing the MEAD, but I think that something that's got this kind of complexity where even what we discussed and agreed on in committee is subject to some question simply because of its complexity illustrates the need for a resolution and action of this nature. Thank you.
Mr. Graham.
The final item concerns implementing Saturday service on Metro Bus Route 22A. Staff requested approval to implement Saturday service between Barcroft, South Farlington, and to amend FY07 operating budget by $71,500 in cost, $10,500 in revenue, and $61,000 in subsidy. Implementation is scheduled for December 24, 2006, and ridership is expected to grow to 650 passengers after 18 months. I move approval.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion? Those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed, that's approved. Thank you.
I'm sure we had no information items.
Thank you, Mr. Grant.
A practice that I think other committees should consider.
We have a report from the Policy, Legislative, and Administration Committee. We had two action items, and I would move the request to initiate and award a contract for psychological testing services for transit police officer applicants.
Okay.
Motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none. Those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? That's approved. The next item is approval to initiate a contract for background investigative services for the purpose of reference checking employment applicants. These services include verification of past employment, wages and salary, education credentials, ascertaining any criminal convictions or credit checks for positions requiring fiduciary duties. I move approval.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none. Those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? That's approved. Thank you. Our next is a report by the Audit and Performance Committee. Mr. Kaufman chairs that committee, and in his absence, I will give the report for Mr. Kaufman. At the Audit and Performance Committee meeting, we had quite a discussion of the recent the audit report activity for 2006. We were very pleased to see the information from the auditor. It was a little bit easier to absorb than reports we had had in the past, but I had expressed some concern about the fact that so many of the recommendations from that 2006 report appeared not to have had any action. And as a result, we have before us kind of a little summary of the status of the actions and whether they need budget, whether they will need additional budget for implementation or just what. It turns out that only 11 of the recommendations that were put before us, of some, a little over 80 recommendations, only 11 of those I have had no action, and I'm sure there's a reason for that. But this, the important information is that 60 of the total recommendations are in process, and there's action going on throughout the authority. I think that's very important information. Also, 20 of them have budget and funding issues, and I'm sure will come back to us in some additional kind of form. The so in addition to the 2006 audit activity, we looked at the 2007 audit plan. That includes internal audits, information technology audits, risk activities, risk issues, and other activities in the auditor's office. Mr. Deegan requested that in the plan for 2007 that overtime be added to the list of audit reports that we could expect to have during that year. That completes the report of the Audit and Performance Committee. We did not have any action items. Our next report is a report of the Planning and Development Committee. Mr. Zimmerman.
Madam Chairman, the Planning and Development
Committee met this morning. We have two action items for your approval. The first concerns concurrence with the on the public hearing staff report and the supplement for the Glenmont 3 parking garage. The committee recommended the board's approval, and on behalf of the committee, I recommend approval. There is a resolution that is included in your materials.
We have a motion.
Have a motion, yes.
Can we have a second?
You need to second it.
Second.
A motion and a second. Discussion?
It's your garage.
Discussion? Hearing none, those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, that's approved. Thank you. Mr. Zimmerman.
The second item concerned the technology strategic plan, and the committee staff brought the results of the work that's been done since our meeting earlier last spring, I guess, when we got the outside peer review in that area, and we had a full report presented to us with a set of recommendations for the agency to move forward. The committee recommends that the board endorse the plan. On behalf of the committee, I move approval.
Motion.
Second.
And a second. Discussion. Those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed. That's approved.
Madam Chairman, we also had two information items. One concerning the upcoming bus conference, which is scheduled for November 30th, 2006 at the Marriott in Bethesda, right by the Marriott, the Bethesda Metro Rail Station, I am told, very conveniently located. Also, they have good bus service there. And the second one concerned the upgrade of signage and rail stations. That concludes my report, Madam Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Zimmerman. Let's have a report from the Real Estate Committee. Mr. Deegan.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The Real Estate Committee met this morning in public session and again in executive session. We have two items today. The committee discussed and voted to recommend board approval for the use of $1.5 million from the District of Columbia's share of the Transit Infrastructure Investment Fund for pedestrian walkways, signage, lighting, security, and other access improvements as part of the U Street African American Civil War Memorial Cardoza Station Joint Development Project. I sympathize with the train operators every time they have to call that out. And the project known as Union Row is being built by P.N. Hoffman and includes 208 condominiums in a nine-story tower, 52 townhouses in two reconstructed warehouses, 14,000 square foot full service grocery store, 13,000 square feet of retail, and 220 parking spaces. Use of TIF funds will provide these infrastructure improvements, will reinforce the transit orientation of this project and the other development currently underway on the U Street corridor area by improving the safety, convenience, and attractiveness of the pedestrian pathways that lead to the Metro Rail station. Significant increase in transit ridership is expected to result from the combination of the mixed-use development project and the infrastructure improvements for which the TIF funds will be used. I move approval.
Move a motion.
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, that's approved.
Next item, the committee discussed and voted to recommend to the board approval of a contract to sell the west entrance of the Navy Yard station and the adjoining parking lot to MR Ballpark 5 LLC. As part of the transaction, the developer will construct improvements and expand the capacity of our Navy Yard station. WMATA will retain a perpetual easement for the Metro station as part of the property. There will be an affordable housing component funded by the district in this proposal. Since there are certain conditions to the contract going forward, WMATA is also developing a plan to do the work itself. Final decision is expected by October 30th, 2006. I move approval.
A motion and a second. Discussion?
Madam Chair.
Mr. Graham.
Yes, I move to amend this motion, striking all references to affordable housing and in its place stating that disapproval is contingent on the board receiving further details concerning paragraph 18.13 of the contract relating to inclusionary housing requirements.
That's a amendment to the motion. Who seconded it? You? Yeah.
A second.
There's a second to the amendment. Any discussion?
Yeah, can somebody explain it to me? I'm now confused. Where would I?
Find 18.
Where? Right. Mr. Graham, can you explain that?
Yes, I can explain that. This is a reference to the contract, which is before paragraph 18.13, provides that the developer is responsible for complying with the inclusionary zoning requirements of the District of Columbia. And in speaking about this with Councilmember Barry and Mrs. Mack, we would like to have further details on this contract requirement before we take any further action relating to the affordable housing requirements which we might want to impose upon this project. So we're simply reserving this issue. We're reserving this issue so that we can have this additional information.
Madam Chairman, I don't actually have a contract in front of me, so I don't know what the reference is to. I thought I understood earlier that the district was interested in using a portion of its TIF allocation on the housing component for this. I just didn't get it.
Again, in different words.
Say it a different way.
Okay. Is that rather than taking the approach that we took in the committee meeting, we have it has been pointed out to us that there is already an existing provision in the contract between the developer and WMATA, which requires the developer to comply with the inclusionary zoning requirements of the District of Columbia. This was information that we did not have.
I see. Okay. So on the basis of that, you don't want to do it the way you're
saying. We want to reserve this particular aspect of the decision until we have more details on what all of that is about.
No, I understand. Thank you.
Mr. Barry.
Mr. Chairman, for the hallucination, we were in a meeting this morning, and all of us on the board are interested in affordable housing in each of our jurisdictions. And the district had a particular interest in this since it's located in the district. And our approach then was, because we didn't know this was in the contract, to agree to get as much affordable housing as we could, and we were willing to forego our share of the TIF monies to pay for that. We also said that depending on what the gap is between 0% and 20%, the district may be willing to subsidize that from another part of money. And since that time, Mr. Graham and I discussed this contract provision, which we're not seeing before. And that goes to what you and I were talking about earlier, that when they bring these things to us, that'll bring us all this information, right? And so that's why we're making that motion. It's trying to achieve as much affordable housing as we can. The district has what's called inclusionary zoning housing provision in the zoning law. So we're trying to achieve the same thing through a different method.
Vision, which I only wish we could do in my jurisdiction.
I come on here.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion? Then I call for...
Madam Chairman.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Yeah, I do want to say, as members know, I've...
On the amendment.
Yeah.
discussion on this.
This is only on the amendment?
Yes, this is on the amendment.
Oh, I thought the amendment was accepted.
No, 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 we haven't voted on the amendment.
Then I'll hold my comments.
Okay, I call for the vote on the amendment. Those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, those opposed, that's approved. Now we're on the main motion.
I've been less than fully comfortable with this action coming as it does so quickly to us for action, having only learned about it about 7 days ago, for what is a pretty significant asset sale by the authority. It's the sort of thing that on the face of it looks like a perfectly good deal. I don't see anything in it that, you know, that I would object to. And everything I've been able to learn, this looks like it's probably a good transaction and, you know, it probably is the best thing to do. But when we have something this large, normally it has a bit more vetting. And one, the one part of it that particularly does concern me or that would generally make me hesitant about something like this is it is a sale of land at a station entrance. And I've been pretty consistent saying I think on the whole we should lease rather than sell, but that's especially true where it's adjacent to our facilities. I would prefer that the agency did not lose all its resources right near the system. So in general, I wouldn't like doing this kind of thing. The one we did one at in Arlington some years ago, and we were able to lease it, and there's a building there, and it accomplishes those things. But the agency in the future will still have property rights there. And that is the way I think we should be going about this. Now, there are a number of reasons involved here why, you know, this might be one of those cases where it makes sense to make exception. But I'm not really comfortable with the fact that I have to make that call in a snap because, you know, frankly, the district's in a big hurry up because Major League Baseball is pushing them. And that's not really the way I want to make decisions about the assets of this agency. So I'm not real pleased about having to make this kind of decision, which I have real hesitation about whether it's the right way to go. And frankly, if we had more time, I'd be asking over and over again, why don't we lease it? Because I don't believe that people who want to do this deal would turn it down. If the only way to get it was the ground lease, they would do it because they build like that all the time. But, you know, on the other hand, if this doesn't get approved, we're creating a number of problems, obviously for the district, but also that relate to the system. So I feel that I have to go along with this, and I'm going to do so reluctantly. But, you know, I do want to say for the record that I don't think this is the way we ought to be making these kind of decisions. And I don't think we should be put in a position where we have to suddenly make a decision that might call for some refinement for what is otherwise, you know, clearly a good arrangement because we just don't have the time to do it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further discussion, Mr. Graham?
Yeah, I think I appreciate the points that Mr. Zimmerman has made. And some of you may be aware of my history in terms of the baseball stadium. But the fact of the matter here is that we have a purchase price which is well in excess of what an independent appraisal established as a value for the property. And so there has been a considerable amount of care taken with this issue. Some of us who have been directly involved in this, and I recognize that the member from Arlington has not had that advantage, but some of us who are directly involved have been discussing this for months and months and months. You know, the pressure under which the Navy Yard station simply must be expanded. It's got to be rehabilitated because otherwise we're going to have chaos when the new baseball stadium opens. And so there are certain realities here that some of us might not have liked to have had to confront, but the fact of the matter is it's the way it is. And we've got to get this critical station ready to accommodate thousands upon thousands of people arriving for these ball games from all over this region. And I think that in addition to all of the other care that the interim general manager has taken with this issue and his staff, you know, assures me that this is the best way to go. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Graham.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Barry.
Let me thank Mr. Zimmerman for his analysis but also his support. Just for the record, this is an $800 million facility. But Major League Baseball is coming to Washington after 40-some years of absence. The Washington Nationals, we have an owner now. The baseball stadium itself is on schedule. As Mr. Zimmerman pointed out, that schedule also is impacted by our ability to get that station expanded. And I think Mr. Graham put it mildly in terms of kind of chaos would be created downstairs with 10, 15, 20,000 people trying to get out of there, and only ordinarily 4,000 or 5,000 come out. So Zimmerman, I appreciate your support. Thank you.
Thank you. And I just want to add that it's not a small thing. There is another economy for Metro here. The developer plans to build a building that will be over the station entrance and will then will not require us to build a canopy over that entrance, and that's valued at over, estimated to be worth over $1 million. So it does allow us to go ahead with the project and to hopefully contribute to our meeting the timeframes that are involved here. If there's no further discussion, I call for a vote. Ms. Hudgens?
I wanted to say that I think the support for this is, I think, consistent in what we see as an improvement needed not only for Metro but meets the needs of the District of Columbia, and that as we realize as for Metro those improvements, that we can see those savings there. And I do want to congratulate the District of Columbia for making sure that they incorporated the housing component in it, because that is the way we continue to say we develop around our stations, and they not only are looking at the housing, but they're looking at the affordability of it, and it's very, very good option for you guys.
Thank you, Ms. Hudgens. If there's nothing further, those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, that's approved. Thank you.
That concludes the Real Estate Committee report.
Thank you, and that concludes our committee reports. We now move to the other actions.
Madam Chairman?
Mr. Zimmerman.
I move the approval of administrative items. It's that 13A1 through 13 on block.
We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. I would just like to point out that in these administrative actions, number 7 is the ratification of a contract agreement with Local 639. The parties to the agreement, or the union, overwhelmingly approved the recommendation that came before it on August the 16th, and we're very pleased to have yet another agreement with our union. This was a reopener to a contract that was approved back in 2005. And also, I would like to call our attention to the fact that item number 13, I'm having trouble reading this tiny number. Item number 13 is a request to approve a negotiated settlement with Local 2. This is very significant because this is a agreement that's been pending for a couple of years, and it's sort of been languishing, I think, and we're very, very pleased to be able to bring this before the board today for its approval. So I would just like to note that before I call for the vote, that there are those two actions within the other actions before the board. Is there any additional discussion? Hearing none, those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, that's approved. That takes us to jurisdictional comments. Mr. Graham.
No report.
Thank you. Next, Mr. Deegan, jurisdictional reports.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Although I don't have anything official to report from the WSTC, I would like to take the opportunity to briefly discuss the disaster drill that took place this past Sunday on the Orange Line and Blue Line underneath the Potomac River. I had the opportunity to attend, and I personally want to commend, you know, Metro staff, particularly Fred Gordine, Mr. Hughes for being there, and Mr. Friel. And our Metro Transit Police. You did an excellent job there, and I think we learned a lot from that. We also really should give a great deal of thanks to our CERT team members who volunteered their early morning Sundays to come in and serve as victims in this rail car explosion under the river. I just think it was a very worthwhile project, and I thought it was important that I mentioned it today and thank the Metro employees and staff that participated in this. And all our first responders from the entire region were there. And it was a good show, and we learned a lot there. I know I was very impressed, and we got a lot more work to do. But these things are important to the safety of our riders and the whole metropolitan area, to be honest about it. So thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Deegan. Northern Virginia, Ms. Hutchins.
I just want to remind people that the Virginia General Assembly is still meeting, or that they are.
They haven't
they
stopped.
Will go back. They have never stopped. They will go back in session next week, and it is very hopeful that they will come up with a resolution for some of our transportation needs, most importantly, our matching Metro funding. So we are continuing to stay at it. I also want to comment on the elevator-escalator piece that was done. Mr. Deegan was there, I guess, for that acknowledgement and celebrating that item. But when I visited, I understood that it was a self-initiated project by the employees. And I didn't read enough about that in the paper, that it was the employees that decided that if they could build this model escalator and elevator, they could do a better job at training and teaching folks how to do the repairs best. And I think that's really something that has to be noted more and more, because I think we kind of forget that much of the ideas that can best be served the agency can often come from the employees, and we just need to sometimes hear them and invest in them.
Great, and congratulations to Mr. Deegan for making the paper above the fold.
In that slimming photograph.
Thank you. Is there anything further, Mr. Ryan? Then the meeting's adjourned. Thank you very much. Thank you.